Amen. She's thankful for the love of Jesus Christ today. I'm thankful again to know that I'm incredibly loved by a Savior who gave himself for me, and that nothing, Romans chapter 8, can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Thankful for that today. And I hope that you know today that you too are incredibly loved by Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. You are incredibly loved by a Savior who gave his life so that you might have life. Thank you for being here today. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do in our hearts as we spend time in his word. So I'll ask you to join me in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And as you're turning there, I wonder how many of us can identify with, in a way, an illustration through the language, the terminology that Paul uses in the passage that we'll be looking at today. How many of you have ever, for one reason or another, owed someone else something? It could be something you borrowed, a loan, a car loan, home mortgage, perhaps even credit card usage. How many of you have ever owed someone else something at some point in your life? Yeah. Probably most of us have at one point or another. I know that when that is true, when you have a situation where for one reason or another you take out a loan or obviously go to buy a car and you finance the vehicle, or maybe you use a credit card for one reason or another, especially if it's a major purchase that you know you're not going to go home and pay off immediately or tomorrow or whatever, but it's going to take a period of time to pay that loan off. That when you come to that place of knowing I'm getting closer and closer and closer, you've probably receive most, if not all, of your tax paperwork at this point, getting ready for filing. And I know that if you're in my type of situation, that tax time can be somewhat exciting because you know you're at least going to get somewhat of a return and you plan on how you're going to use that return. How many of you ever find yourself in that situation or know what I mean by that? Okay, a few of us. And I know there have been times in my wife and I's marriage that we plan like that even for our tax return, and sometimes that has included taking a lump sum and paying off something that we owe to someone. When you get to that point, how exciting is that? Maybe it's your house is paid off, and when you wrote that last check, made that last payment, it was exciting. Maybe even you planned some sort of a celebration. Maybe it was a car just at some point. That you got to that place of making the last payment. And it was a moment of excitement till something went wrong, right? I can remember as a young boy, and I don't remember all the details, the specifics of it, but I remember as a young boy at the church my dad pastored for many years. And I don't even know exactly what it was that the church owed, but I remember not long after we'd been there, I believe, having that paid off and having a little ceremony at the end of one of the services or in the service, celebrating the fact that that was paid off. All of us can identify, I believe, with that type of a feeling, a celebration. Look at what Romans chapter 13 says here in verses 8 through 10, kind of thinking along those lines, because the terminology Paul uses here brings that thinking to our attention. When he says in Romans 13 verse 8, "Owe no man anything but to love one another." You might mark down that in these three verses, this one statement is the command. The rest of these verses are explanatory or even application of the command. But this one statement is the command in this passage. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. I want to preach to you a simple message today about love. Many of us have made a commitment this year as we've made it our church theme to be a church without walls. And if we're going to do that effectively, I believe the characteristic that is important for us to exhibit to those around us above any other is love. So I want to preach this message, love. A debt that we owe to those around us. Notice again Romans chapter 13, that command, owe no man anything but to love one another. Let me ask you again, how many of you have ever owed another man something? Yeah, we all have. The scripture here speaks of being under debt or under obligation. That's the idea of the word owe. Being a debtor or owing a debt to another. The command is simply owe no man anything but to love one another. Now, the Bible does speak of debt and owing others. Specifically in the law, Leviticus 25, God had some very specific laws for his people about loans and debts and how they were to operate with one another about those things. There were times that a man in need would perhaps take out a loan. But God's people, if they were the one giving the loan, were not to extract or exact usury or interest on that loan. How amazing would that be? How would you like to be able to take out a home mortgage and not actually pay any interest on your home mortgage? That would be pretty cool. But that was what God desired for his people. If one of your brothers has a need, you can give him a loan, but do not charge usury or interest on that loan. The reason that God gave for that was because you yourselves were slaves in the land of Egypt, and I redeemed you. The idea there being that God had not required anything of his people for the redemption that he brought to them. Oh, what a beautiful picture of God's redemption. Aren't you glad that God does not require anything of us to redeem us? God doesn't require some sort of a payment. God doesn't charge interest on the salvation that he offers to us. He doesn't require some sort of a work or some amount of money that we have to pay for that redemption. I'm so thankful for that. Here in Romans chapter 13, bringing that type of thinking to our minds, Paul says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Write down, if you will, number one this morning, love is an unpaid debt. Love is an unpaid debt. Paul, several times already in the book of Romans, has spoken about being a debtor himself. Hold your place in Romans chapter 13. I want you to see each of these and look at Romans chapter number 1 with me very quickly this morning. In Romans chapter 1, in verse number 14, Paul speaks here of being a debtor. He says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul says, I am a debtor to others to preach the gospel. Do you realize today that you and I have a debt to pay? You and I are under an obligation as believers in Jesus Christ to be gospel proclaimers to those around us. To all. He says to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. And because Paul recognized that that was an obligation he had to those around him, he determined that with all that was in him, he was going to fulfill that obligation. We find another example in Romans chapter number 8 in verse 12. There in Romans chapter 8 verse 12, Paul writes, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Paul explains to us in Romans chapter 8 that we are debtors to live under the Spirit of God. To live God's design for us through the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. So we are debtors as gospel proclaimers. We are debtors to the Spirit of God to live by the Spirit of God. In chapter 13, verse number 8 now, we are debtors to love one another. And it's an unpaid debt. Is there ever a limit to the love that we are to share with others? You think about that, those times that you've been under obligation to pay some debt. A home loan or a car loan or whatever it may be. And when you're given that loan, there is a period of time and there are monthly payments until that final payment is made, until that comes to maturity, if you will. And you pay off that payment and you owe that loaner no more for that debt. After that period of 15, 20, or 30 years, whatever the home loan is, you don't have to pay that loaner anymore for that debt. You pay that final payment on your vehicle and you don't have to pay the car creditor, whoever it may be, any more for that debt. And that is true of any debt that you might think of or that you have had in your experience. But here's what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 13, that we are always under debt to love one another. There's no limit. There's no end date. There's no final payment. For as long as we live here in this life, we owe it to our fellow man to love one another. Would you notice that word another for a moment? Because I believe it's important that we come to an understanding. That word another is a very interesting word here because it deals with another party, somebody else. But it specifically has the idea of one who is different. One who is unlike us. And you might picture, as you think of someone who is different or someone who is unlike us, someone who to us may seem unlovely or unlovable. But Paul shares with us that the command is that we are to love one another. That is a debt that we owe to all others. And it is a debt that is unending. One writer said it this way, there is one debt which will always remain outstanding because we can never pay it. And that is our duty to love. We can never stop loving somebody and say, I have loved enough. Will never happen. Now the question for us is how can that be? How can we demonstrate love to those around us in that fashion? We cannot do that apart from the love of Christ. Aren't you thankful today? I've asked this already, that you know that God loves you. Aren't you thankful today that you have a Savior who offers you incredible love and He pours out His incredible love to you and to me every day? Thankful for that. That love does not end and that love does not change, no matter what. Even when I wrong Him, that love remains unchanged. It doesn't end. We know that God loves us in that fashion. Let me ask you this, though, too, as we think a little further. How can we demonstrate that kind of love to others? We need to think about God's love to us, but friends, I'll also remind you this. We're not going to be able to love others as God calls us to unless we love Christ. Do you remember Jesus' statement about the law when He was asked, what is the greatest commandment in the law? You remember probably that account when a young man came to Him and asked Jesus the question, Master, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus answered his questions in two parts. He said, first, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. But then Jesus went on and said, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Can I tell you today, can I remind you that the two must go together? We are not going to be able to pay the debt that we owe to others around us unless we first love God with all of our heart, souls, and might. Now we might be able to claim, well, I love the Lord. But can I ask today, and I'm asking myself the question too, do we love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, all our minds? Can I ask you today, is there any part of your love that does not belong to Christ? Is there any part of your heart or your soul or your might, is there any part of your being, your life that Christ does not have your love? If we fail in our love to Christ, we can only be assured that we will fail in our love to those around us. If we're going to love others as we are under debt to do, we must love Christ with all of our beings. And then and only then can we love others. He says, owe no man anything but to love one another. You know, there are times when we do wrong in our relationship to Christ. There are times when we do wrong in our relationship to others. And there, in those circumstances, in those situations, we would often say that we owe the Lord, or we owe that person something. What is it when we've done wrong? We owe them an apology. You know, if we fulfill that obligation to owe no man anything but to love one another, when we love others as we should, we'll never need to owe them an apology. But there are times when we fail in it, don't we? And we need to confess it to the Lord when we fail in our love for Him. We need to confess it to others when we fail in our love for them. Love, it's an unpaid debt. But notice this secondly this morning, if you will. Love not only is an unpaid debt, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Look at the end of verse number 8, Romans chapter 13. He says, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Verse number 10, the end of the verse says, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. When we love others, beginning with our love for God, we are found in fulfillment of God's law. We are found in obedience to God's law. We often don't think of the law and love in the same context, do we? So many times when we think of law, we see it only as a negative thing. And in fact, many times when we think of law, or even God's commandments, the Ten Commandments, many of them that Paul gives some examples in verse number 9 are negative statements. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But what we need to recognize is that when we love, when we are paying that obligation to love God and to love others, we will be found in fulfillment of the law. Think of this statement. The thou shalt nots of the law are satisfied by thou shalt love. You realize that? The thou shalt nots of the law are satisfied by the one statement, thou shalt love. Over and over again, the Bible speaks of this, specifically in the New Testament. Again, when that young lawyer came to Jesus and asked him the question, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and might, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, on this hang all the law and the prophets. Every bit of God's command, if you will. Every bit of his word to man, what they had at the time was the commandments and the prophets, the word of God, is found being fulfilled in those two parts. Thou shalt love God and thou shalt love thy neighbor. Paul spoke about it again in the book of Galatians. Hold your place here in Romans 13 once again and go with me to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5, in speaking about our liberty in Christ and the works of the flesh as compared to the fruit of the Spirit, Paul said in verse number 14 of Galatians 5, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Paul, right before that, said that we're to use our liberty to, by love, serve one another. And when we are fulfilling that obligation, loving God and loving others, we're fulfilling God's law. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2, Paul says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law. Of the law of Christ. What a demonstration and application of our love. 1 John chapter 3 tells us to love not just in word and deed, or word and tongue, but in deed and in truth. What an application of loving God and loving others when we bear one another's burdens. James chapter number 3 refers to the law of love as the royal law. The kingly law. When we love God and when we love others, we can be found in obedience to Him. Now, we need to understand that statement versus the backdrop that Paul gives us in Romans chapter number 7. Look, if you will, at Romans chapter 7. This is going to bring a crucial thought to our understanding. And it's this, we're incapable of fulfilling this in ourselves. When you think about the love that God has to us and the love that we're under obligation to have for God and to share with others, that is not a love that we are capable of fulfilling in ourselves. In Romans chapter 7, Paul was discussing the law and how Christ set us free from the law. For example, look at verse number 4 of Romans chapter 7. Paul said, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." You know what Paul says here? That we are freed from the burden of the law. But in that freedom, there is commitment because we're married to Christ. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that that is a commitment that is a commitment of love and not of duty? But it is a commitment even then that we cannot fulfill in and of ourselves. You'll remember that as Paul goes on in Romans chapter 7, he writes about the struggle that he himself had. I love when the authors of Scripture, God, as he moves them to write the Word of God, allows us to see a glimpse into their personal lives. And Paul here, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, writes illustrating how he himself had this struggle within himself. In Romans chapter 7, Paul writes about how as he lived his life, there were times when he struggled with this understanding of knowing what he should do and not doing it. And knowing what he should not do, but then doing it. And he said, "I see this constant struggle in myself, this war within my members." But then he says in verse number 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." But he saw that he had victory through Jesus Christ. Friends, we're not able to fulfill the law of God, to love God and to love others in and of ourselves. If this is something we just try to conjure up in our own strength, we won't succeed. But praise be to God. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit living within us, we can fulfill His law. As Paul comes then to Romans chapter 13 and writes to us about this obligation to love others, which can only happen first and foremost as we love God, he even brings this to our understanding that it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can fulfill that obligation. So let me ask you a question today. We're under obligation to love God and to love others. How often do you and I try to live in our own strength, apart from the power that God makes available to us through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit? How often do we make decisions that are decisions of the flesh? I know I do. Instead of decisions that are guided and directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Love is the fulfillment of the law. But it is something that we cannot do in and of our own strength. We need to trust the power and strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we spent time the last couple of weeks up in New York with my wife's family, we had the opportunity one day while we were there to go sledding for a little while. It's something you don't get the option of doing many times here in North Carolina unless you go just pasture sledding or something, I don't know. While we were up in New York one day, we took the kids out and we went sledding, and it's a little bit of work to walk up the hill. You know, it's not so much work to sled down the hill, but it's a little bit of work to walk up the hill after each time you go down. Brooklyn, from the time we got there, told us that she didn't want help. She wanted to sled down herself, even though this was her first time sledding. She didn't want anyone to sit on the sled with her. She wanted to go down all by herself. And she would go down and come up and go down and come up. And a couple of times I told her, "Brooklyn, you need to rest for a few moments. You're getting warm. Your face is all red. Why don't you just rest for a few moments? So she'd stand there for like 3 seconds and then say, Daddy, can I go again? Okay, go ahead and go again. It was work to walk up the hill. One time when she had gone down the hill, one of her uncles, one of Stephanie's brothers, had sledded? What's the past tense of sled? Had sled down the hill. And when he got to the bottom of the hill, he had one of those wooden sleds with the metal skis on the bottom of it. And he got to the bottom of the hill and he asked Brooklyn if she wanted help. So he put Brooklyn on the sled and using the little pulley actually pulled her up the hill. As they were making their way up the hill, Brooklyn made the comment, wow, this is so easy. It was difficult to walk up the hill time after time after time after time by herself. I went sledding down the hill several times with our little tank of a boy. And then would make my way back up the hill by putting him on my shoulders. And I'm going to tell you what, that was a difficult thing to do time after time after time. But for him, it was really easy. For Brooklyn to make her way up the hill was very difficult. But when someone put her on the sled and did the work for her, it wasn't so difficult. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says that we're to take his yoke upon us. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. When we think of our obligation to love God and to love others, in and of ourselves, that is a difficult task. Like walking up that sledding hill over and over again. But through Jesus Christ and the power that he makes available to us, it's like when Uncle Shane, I think it was, took Brooklyn on the sled and pulled her up the hill, and she said, wow, this is easy. This isn't as difficult as I thought it was. Love is the fulfillment of the law, but we cannot do it in and of ourselves. We need to rest in the power that God provides to us. And then notice, if you will, finally this morning, love is an unpaid debt. It's one that we're under constant obligation to give, no matter what. Love is the fulfillment of the law. All of the law is fulfilled in thou shalt love. And then thirdly, love doesn't harm others. Love doesn't harm others. Look at the first part of verse number 10 in Romans chapter 13. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. How many of us have ever wronged another person? Come on, you can admit it this morning. I have. There have been times in my life I've had to ask others for forgiveness, to say I'm sorry. How many of us have wronged someone else that we love? I have. And there have been times I've had to ask for forgiveness for that. In the moment that we wrong, we are not treating that other individual with the love that we should. When we are fulfilling God's obligation to love him first and then to love others, what Paul's main thought of this text is, love does not harm others. One Bible writer said of this application, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. It is the essence of love to seek and to serve our neighbor's highest good. And in doing so, we fulfill God's law and do not bring harm, or the word could be translated evil, to our neighbor. Rather, we are seeking to serve our neighbor's highest good. And friends, as we think about it in relation to the Word of God and the truth that He gives to us, what is the highest good, or even, if you will, the highest need of those around us? The gospel of Jesus Christ. An obligation that we are under debt to give. We are to love others. And when we are fulfilling love to others, that will be demonstrated without harm, without bringing ill to those around us. Once again, this brings to our minds this recognition that is not something we can do in and of ourselves. It is not an accomplishment that we can do if we're living in our own nature. Because our nature, apart from Jesus Christ, stems from the fall, stems from sin, stems from depravity. We can only live this out when we affirm all that we are in creation, and specifically the new creation, who we are in Jesus Christ. Love is an unpaid debt. It's an obligation we are always under. Love is the fulfillment of God's law. Love does not harm others. Let me ask you a simple question today. How are you fulfilling your obligation? We're under a debt. And sometimes when you're under a debt, especially one that seems impossible to pay, and Paul even says here is one that you'll never pay off, we can be hesitant even to do what we should, to love as we should. How are you fulfilling your obligation to love? Where would you measure today your love for the Lord Jesus Christ? Does He have all of your love? Is there any part of your love that He does not have? How are you loving others? How would you measure your love to others? Even to those who are unlovely, even to those who perhaps you feel have not earned your love. Are you going about in your own strength to accomplish it? You cannot. I cannot. And then, as you think back, is there someone that you've brought ill to, that you've harmed, because you failed in your love, that perhaps you need to make right today? How are you fulfilling your obligation to love others? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning, no one looking around. And for just a few moments this morning, I want to ask you to reflect with me. on this obligation. How would you measure yourself in fulfilling it? If you're here this morning and you'd say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. God has dealt with me this morning about my love. Would you just slip up your hand? I'm raising mine with you today. Pastor, that's me. God has spoken to my heart. Many, many hands. God has worked in your heart. I'm going to invite you to come to this altar. Speak to the Lord about it. Would there be someone here today who would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart about his love for me. I'm not sure that I've ever accepted the gift of his love by accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior. I did not preach about that this morning, but perhaps God has spoken to your heart about your need of salvation that he's offered to you because he loves you so much. That's you right now with no one looking around. You say, Pastor, that's me. God has spoken to my heart about my need of salvation through Jesus Christ. Would you just raise your hand? Pastor, that's me. God is speaking to my heart about my need of salvation. If God is speaking to you about that today, I'm going to invite you to come in just a moment as well. And if God is speaking to your heart, you come and do business with the Lord. Take me by the hand if you need to and say, Pastor, I need to know Christ as my Savior. We'll have someone take you and show you how you can know Christ today. God's working, you move. God, help us now in this time to respond in obedience to you. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes.